All right, we are now past the 9 days. This is Yisachar Wortel, and this is Parshat Ve'etchanan, or Eschanan, as some people might say. As part of the ongoing sponsorship, once again, sponsored Rafua Shleima for Zev and Leah, Dr. Zelenko. Again, if anybody also wants to sponsor for Rafua Shleima or positive circumstance or anything, please, of course, let us know. But we're headed to all sorts of really good circumstances. We're headed towards Tu B'Av, which is actually on Shabbos this year, which is amazing. So it's a really, really special time, and hopefully everything goes really, really well for everybody. Although I'd love to talk about Shabbos Nachamu, maybe I'll tie something in at the end, but I don't have anything inherently prepared for that. I apologize. But I will be talking about the Parsha, so that's pretty good too, right? Anyway, towards the end of this week's Parsha, not the Shema, although obviously that's one of the – it's interesting, actually. I heard pointed out today a whole long thing explaining why Dafka, the Aseret HaDibrot, and the Shema, the first paragraph of the Shema, are in this week's Parsha, which is something I hadn't really thought about before. It's like, I know, okay, but here Eschanan, you know, Moshe, Tefillah, and, you know, praying, and then, of course, it goes into the Aseret HaDibrot, and, oh, but I never made a connection between the Shema. So that's the whole thing to think about, which, again, I'm not going to get into. I'm just giving you other little, you know, pieces of things to maybe think about when you're going through the Parsha this week in the Shabbos. But towards the end of this week's Parsha, Torah states, Shemor Tishmarun et mitzvot Hashem Elokeichem ve'edotav v'adotav v'chukav asher tzivach. You shall surely keep the mitzvot of Hashem, your God, and his edot and his chukin that he commanded you. Throughout the Torah, especially in the book of Devarim, the Torah generally speaks of, in addition to the broad term mitzvot, chukim and mishpatim. Now chukim, or chok in singular, are laws such as, you know, shadnez, or the paraduma, the red heifer, which we don't really have any logical explanation for, and simply must keep as an obeying of God's will. Now mishpatim are laws for which we have, or can at least think of, logical reasons for. These two terms are quite often paired together, and often are in the order of chukim followed by mishpatim, although not always. However, in our pasuk above, the word mishpatim actually does not appear, and instead the relatively unique term edot instead appears, right? So in addition to this curious substitution, why does the term come before that of chukim? So it's one thing to insert edot instead of mishpatim, but why is edus put before the word chukim? And what exactly does that mean to keep Hashem's edus? And it's also interesting that that also is, in fact, by the Shema, which, as we know, is a testimony with the ayin of the word Shema and Dalet of Echad, forming aid, and the whole testimony in Kabbalah to Machot Shemaim. So it's very, very fitting that it would be tied in. But in this particular case, what exactly does edus mean? So just before I even give an answer, to further complicate it, several psukim later, the Torah writes, Ki yishacha bincha machar lemor, ma hai edut v'achukim v'mishpatim v'asher tzivcha Hashem okeinu etchem. Your child will ask you tomorrow, saying, what did the edut and the chukim and the mishpatim that Hashem your God commanded you? Well, that's basically what it said before, but this time it reinserts mishpatim. So we thought that edus might be a replacement for mishpatim, but in this case, we have Edos and Mishpatim, so we really need to explain that. So in order to begin to understand this, we must first explain what this actually means, Hashem's Edos, Hashem's Edot, if you will, his testimonies. So the main explanation, it seems, based on what I've read and what I've gathered, is that these refer to the collection of historical events, or more specifically, the divine structure of events unfolding, and what we must do in order to commemorate them. So examples of this are keeping Shabbos, to remember the creation and the purpose of the world, or eating matzah to remember Yetziat Mitzrayim. This language of Eda, testimony, is also used by the bris given to our Avos, our forefathers, promising our departure from slavery and the birth into a great nation, that is the Jewish people. In fact, this quintessential Eda relative to us might be this actual piece, this the whole forming of a nation through what's called the Tzur Barzel, the Iron Crucible of Mitzrayim, and getting us to go into Mitzrayim and then come out as a nation to receive the Torah, ultimately to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, that's really important. And that is also tied into the Ada of Shabbos. Right? Shabbos is integral to our lives, and it's undeniably important. But in addition to recalling the seventh day of creation, it also connects to Yetziat Mitzrayim. Right? It benefited the entire world. Right? Shabbos benefited the entire world. Right? It's a day of rest. Now, obviously, only the Jews keep Shabbos, but it was still, it's vayin aflesh, right? There was still something that really completed and inherently perfected the world with the Shabbos day being added, right? Now, Yetziat Mitzrayim was exclusively for the Jewish people, right? So that's something that's connected to us alone. So even though we say Yetziat Mitzrayim in Shabbos, there's an element of Shabbos that even though Shabbos is for the Yehudim, it's for the Jews, there's still an interesting, connection to the world. So we have different types of Eidos, right? We have Eidos which are Eidos for the whole world, or Eidot for the whole world, right? Testimonies which testify for God's behalf for everybody, all mankind. And then we have ones which specifically testify about Hashem's unique relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's something which, although we connect it to Shabbos, Yetziat Mitzrayim is inherently connected to our specific relationship to Kadosh Baruch Hu as a nation. Right, it's connected to us alone. In fact, in this week's parsha, in the reiteration of the Aseret Dibrot, it actually states that the reason we must keep Shabbos is because of Yetziat Mitzrayim, which actually, in a weird sense, gives Yetziat Mitzrayim a greater precedence than Shabbos. Now, obviously, that needs to be a lot of explanation, but on one level, that is because Yetziat Mitzrayim is a lot more personal in a certain sense. Right, we understand our birth of a nation, and the Torah speaking to our children about all of these things that Hashem did for us, starting really with the Yetziat Mitzrayim. So we first start off with the Eidot, and then we get into the Chukim, and then the Mishpatim. Right, and before the Torah even talks about that, it talks about Yetziat Mitzrayim. So the Torah then, interestingly, writes later, after this mentioning of Eidot, Chukim, and Mishpatim, and again, I still haven't addressed the whole issue of Mishpatim not being there and then being there. I'll get to that in a moment. Hashem has commanded us to perform all these chukim. So we had just mentioned a concept of Yetziat Mitzrayim, which is tied into Eidos. Then it ties into chukim, and then Mishpatim is now omitted again. So we kind of go from a clear Eidos and chukim without Mishpatim to Eidos chukim with Mishpatim, and then essentially a mention of Eidos with chukim again without Mishpatim. Now, the acceptance of God's testimony, so to speak, is the acknowledgement that he runs and controls the world. He has a natural order to things, but also divinely guides history in a way that is part of a master plan. When one has this connection and strong cognizance of Hashem's ways, it's not likely that he will... It seems logical that you would follow Hashem's commandments, right? At least, if you didn't have the strong obstruction of the Yitzhara. Now, Chukim, even with a foundation, however, may be difficult to accept, and therefore the commandment is thereby reinforced, right? So, therefore, chukim needs to be reiterated, when you have just Eidos. When you just have testimony, you just have a general acknowledgement of Hashem without the deep understanding, you really need to reinforce it in order to do the chukim. The mishpatim may come logically. They may come through society. But, interestingly enough, the gematria of the word Eidotav, his Eidot, is numerically equal to the same as u'mishpatav and his mishpatim. Because mishpatim are important, but you have to add them with a firm platform of Hashem's commitment, right? And you establish this testimony, and you acknowledge that everything is connected to Hashem and that you must do what he says, mishpatim are easily included, right? It's not so difficult to include them because they're relatively logical or sometimes very logical, but not only that, Hashem said them, and Hashem is, wow, he's Hashem, right? Eidot come first, it's a prerequisite. They're equivalent to Ani Hashem Elokeichem in the Ten Commandments. Chukim follow, as we mentioned previously, because once you already get yourself involved with all of the logic and thinking about everything logically, it's going to be much harder to get to the chukim. So the next thing to take a hold of, once you establish this firm Eidos, is to grab onto the chukim, and then you need to grab onto the mishpatim. And obviously, I'm oversimplifying all of this, but I'm trying to do my best in 10 minutes, which I'm just about out of, so just give me one moment to wrap up. However, truly recognizing Hashem Eidos, even that of itself, even though that's the first thing in the prerequisite, is not always easy for a person. And therefore, even if you're not able to establish the Eidos, you still have to do Hashem's commandments, chukim and mishpatim. In our first instance, Moshe is talking to the generation in the Midbar who clearly have the understanding of God's edus. And therefore, the only thing, this additional term of chukim, is chukav, is necessary, right? It's absolutely necessary to add this piece when you have a clear edus, but even before it. However, later generations who did not experience the open miracles of this generation will inquire all about the three means of the connection. However, in the response given, one hopefully can instill the appreciation and understanding of Hashem's edus to his children, and therefore the additional mishpatim will be undertaken and not need to be commanded. Now, I apologize. I really rushed that. Let me try and explain it very, very simply before I go. Basically, if you establish a proper baseline, which in this case is edus, right, a proper testimony to understand a basic platform of Hashem, you then get into the chukim, right? You don't necessarily need the open miracles that the Midbar had, but rather you can inquire about it and go through this process through a lot of the pieces which Hashem teaches, and hopefully it will not be too much trouble to take on the Mishpatim and to be able to perform all of the mitzvot in their entirety to the best of our ability. We're not perfect, but we can hopefully grasp onto them, and the Mishpatim will not necessarily be the most difficult thing, but rather we can focus truly on connecting and reaffirming our connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu and teaching others to do the same. Shabbat Shalom, and wishing you all a great Tu B'Av.